Your home for sports on the radio. We are 95.3 The Score.
I hope you're ready. It's that time.
This is going to be cool.
Climb aboard for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
A day that will live in sports radio infamy.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
We're talking the big deal, the real deal.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
I am not only drinking the Kool-Aid, I'm the manufacturer.
I am losing my mind.
Shannon, it might be semi-circle time.
Hi, I'm Steve, and, well, I brought a list.
And now, a guy with tons and tons of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
And broadcasting them, searching for answers.
Yeah, to go, what the hell are we doing?
It's Steve Tannen.
And we welcome you to Sports Talk. The 4 o'clock hour has arrived. Thanks for checking in. Yeah, it's a Monday. It's April 13th. Like I said, it's 4 o'clock. I feel like you need to check those boxes before you move it along. Looking ahead to the end of this hour, we're going to have a flashback. Light 'em up. We had dueling Richter scales. At 5:10, the coach, Kelly Graves, will join us. And during the course of this week, I have some good throwback interviews we've done from the past. I mean, it was a year ago right now that Tiger was making his run and winning his fifth green jacket at the Masters. And that week after, we were off on the Monday, but on Tuesday, we spoke with Ann Liguori, the magnificent golf analyst and longtime New York radio host, who became the first woman to host a regular sports show on an all-sports station ever. And she joined us on April 16th of last year. That was a really fun interview. So that, I've got Curtis Conway from New Year's Eve Day 2014 of the Pac-12 Network. Of course, Curtis, a USC player, a longtime receiver in the NFL, really good player with the Bears and Jets, married to Layla Ali. And he joined us the day before Oregon stomped Florida State in the 2015 Rose Bowl. Had a really fun conversation. So, you know, during these times when it's not like I'm going to break down tonight's 4 NBA games and give you today's probable pitchers for MLB or talk about yesterday's final round of the Masters or anything like that. So it's kind of we are all in this business ISO, in search of content. You can help. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Is there anything on your mind? We've got the WNBA draft coming up on Friday. And Michelle Vopel, who's one of the top women's basketball writers for ESPN, she'll join us at 4:30 mañana. To talk about it and the season in general. We've had her on before, and she just does a terrific job, and she is wired in to women's college basketball and the WNBA and the draft. And, you know, obviously we'll talk about Sabrina and Satu and Ruthie and get her wired in insights. You could chime in, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. You could also hit us up via the text line, 321-0824, on Twitter for the station at 953 The Score, for the show at Sports Talk 953, and for Nick back in the studios at Rick Nodgers. What do you say we bring in our buddy Chicago Mike joins us? Hey, Mike, how are you?
How you doing, Steve? This is a call with some content.
Okay.
I got to go back to the movies for a second. You left it. I had to go back. Remember The Pope of Greenwich Village?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I haven't seen that movie in 30 years.
I know. You haven't mentioned it. Nick might enjoy that, but dig that out and look it up. And what about Let It Ride with Richard Dreyfuss?
Oh, yeah. The end
scene. The funniest
scene.
Horse racing movie of all time.
Yeah, the end scene when he whispers into Buster Poindexter's ear how much he bet, and he turns around to the crowd and goes, he pissed it all away.
And early in the movie, that gambler says, even when you know, you don't know, because they have a photo finish on a lead pipe cinch bet. It was just all the stuff is in there on that one. But get the Pope out and watch that, because that Eric Roberts, Mickey Rourke, Burt Young in there as Bedbug Eddie.
Yeah, and the one guy, the poker player, he had what they called, what was it, the inverted fan, the way he held his cards, if I remember correctly.
I don't remember that part. But anyway, Let It Ride, of course, and then the Tin Men. You remember that one?
Oh, another one that I probably saw when it came out and haven't seen in 100 years.
Richard Dreyfuss is probably the funniest man that ever lived, or at least in the top five. All right, I got a funny story from Autzen Stadium circa. Remember the Michigan game a quick 9 years ago?
9 years ago? The trip to Michigan was in 07. The home game was 2003.
That long ago? I was at the home game. I'm talking about Michigan, not Michigan State.
No, I know. The Michigan was here in September of 2003, and then Oregon went back Chip's first year as the coordinator in 2007.
I was at the game at Autzen Stadium. My kid and I have a bottle of whiskey. There's two black guys from Detroit sitting right in front of us. I immediately start in on them with, you come out here thinking you're going to win? This is duck country. They were really nice guys. Told them I was from Chicago, and they shouldn't expect an easy win. The Ducks are leading at half. Michigan comes back in the second half. The guy turns around. He says, how come I don't hear much out of you? I said, I never talk in the second half. These guys were drinking frozen daiquiris. We're drinking whiskey. We had a gay old time. It was a great afternoon. You sure it was that long ago?
100% sure, believe it or not.
Okay. All right, I'll go along with that. Anyway, tell Nick to watch, and you get it out too, The Pope of Greenwich Village, and those are just two or three of the great ones that I've seen not too long ago. All right, later.
Take it easy, Mike. Yeah, you know, probably would surprise a lot of people that we're coming up on 12 years since Bilotti wasn't coach. I mean, you had Chip from 09 to 12. You had Hell from 13 to 16. You had one and done Willie. And now in 18 and 19, you have Coach Cristobal. Yeah, it's 2-1. 13, 14, 15, 16, and four going on 12 years. 2003, the Michigan game. It's amazing. I've got to dig into my we've got an outside structure where I do some storage. And Kit Kesey of Kesey Enterprises, who puts on so many great shows at the Cuthbert and McDonald Theater, because that Sunday after, I mean, if you remember, that was back and forth, and the play calling by Michigan that day left much to be desired. And then finally, they let Navarre cut loose with Braylon Edwards and was it Steve Breston, and they started to move the ball, cut the lead to within four. And then they had the now famous last drive, which stalled right about midfield. It might have been the 46-yard line. But we're in section 11, right behind the Duck bench, and it was 2 years after the expansion. So now we went from the fourth row to the second row, and whoever the photographer was from the Register Guard got the shot from the other side of the field of Navarre under center and us all on our feet. And so we went to the game, and it was glorious. I mean, come on. I know now you think of Alabama. Then in, you know, around that time, it was only 5 years, 6 years removed from Michigan winning a national title. You know, they were always battling Ohio State. The SEC had not separated itself like it would almost on cue starting in, you know, 2006, where they won like, what, 8 national championships following Texas in 05, USC in 04. And who won it in 03? LSU in 03, sure. Ohio State in 2002. So in 2003, the Big Ten was the reigning national champs. And it was just huge. And we went out, celebrated, got home, did some partying, woke up, and to a phone call. Ring, ring, ring. Back then, 2003, had a landline in the bedroom. Phone next to us. Hello. So you guys are celebrities. What do you mean? Did you get the paper today? No, I haven't brought it in yet. Go get the paper. I look on the front page. What are you talking about? Sports section. And open the sports section on the front page. Basically is Navarre kind of blurry and our section. I mean, I could pick out like 15 people I know with my wife standing next to me. And it's really funny and really personal because, first of all, it was such a beautiful day. And I had a good luck shirt that I wore to Duck games, but it was a Yankee jersey. It was my Don Mattingly jersey. So I stand out like a sore thumb because every normal person, and back then they didn't have the 47,000 different color schemes with pink and silver and black. You wore green and yellow. So all it's a sea of green and yellow and me with my Mattingly jersey on and my sunglasses. And I get to work at my other station and I find multiple pictures of this hanging on the studio door and somebody had wrote, duck, 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 and then over my name, my picture, Yankee. But it was my good luck shirt. And I went to the well one too many times because then I wore it the next weekend when they got their asses kicked by Washington State when it was like 903 degrees. But yeah, that's a game that'll stand out to me forever. And it's a victory that really didn't lead to anything, as I think they wound up winning, what, 8 games that year on the way to the Sun Bowl loss to Minnesota. But at the time, especially you had the run that almost landed them in the national championship game against Miami in 2001 to the good start in 2002, ending in the disaster, getting beat in the Seattle Bowl. And then in 2003, that was a huge game because they had started out against Mississippi State on the road, went to SEC country, then won. Then they beat Nevada here. And then they had crushed at Arizona to open Pac-10 play. And then on September 20th, Michigan was number 3. Oregon, because of the 3-0 start, had climbed into the national rankings. And that's when, was it Jason Fife appeared on the cover of Sports Illustrated. He had that 15-yard touchdown run that put them in the lead in the first half, and that was the perfect cover shot. Was it Rich, Cool, and 4-0, something like that? You guys might be a little more aware. First, there was the opening drive where they marched it right down Michigan's throat, stalled, were settling for a Jared Siegel field goal, and it got blocked and returned all the way for a touchdown. And just it ended up, Lloyd Carr's quote was, "That's the loudest place I ever heard," as Jeremy LeSueur took the blocked field goal 78 yards for a touchdown. That's how loud it was. That was not dead air. That was deliberate. That was pin drop Jones, except for, you know, a few annoying Michigan fans. But yeah, they whoever the offensive coordinator was there. I don't think Carr called his own plays, but he would not let them cut loose until the second half when he hit Jason Avant for a touchdown. Then Breston, he hit two. So he had three touchdowns in the second half, ended up with 360 total yards. But Oregon, if I remember that day, all right, I brought the numbers up. I mean, the philosophy behind the national narrative was big bad Michigan and their offensive line with Chris Perry is basically going to shove the ball down to Oregon's throat. And historically, Oregon has done so well. I mean, you start with the narrative that was going to happen with Colorado in the Fiesta Bowl. You know, they had manhandled the big corn-fed boys from Nebraska. Same thing with Utah in this past championship game. It's been a place where Oregon has always responded when they were labeled too soft and a non-conference team who was supposed to be bigger and badder than them would, seemingly have the upper hand. And then in the end, not so much. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Brad. Brad, good afternoon. How's it going?
Hey, Steve. So my recollection of that game, very recently after the expansion on the south side of the stadium, because I remember us all thinking, I wonder how loud it's going to be with the top higher, you know, and it's vivid in my memory because the one season, it was one of my first seasons with season tickets. Let's just say I had a stunning view of the Coburg Hills. It was like row 75 in the new area, and that Michigan game was just one of the early highlights. It just really was early for me in my going to Autzen days. We had Michigan fans around us too, and it was just so exciting to be doing that to someone that had been revered as a national power for so long, and just, you know, goosebumps seeing those uniforms on the field.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, Brad, especially for a younger crowd who after that, there was 27 maybe bigger games, bowl games. Now, you know, game day here, national championship implications. But at the time, I don't know if of the modern era, Oregon had more than three or four bigger wins than that, except for, you know, maybe the pick. I mean, you know, they hadn't won any major bowl games. So Michigan to come to town and have Oregon beat them in 2003 was like an all-time huge victory. It was right up there.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, there's no one other than, I mean, USC is the biggest, and that's a conference rival. Well, in Washington, of course, but
right.
You know, in terms of teams that were national powers, I mean, teams that weren't in our division, you know, it was just such a huge thing. And, you know, every time I see that quote from Carr on the from the coach on the big screen, it makes me happy just knowing I was a part of that, you know?
Yeah, no, it's like I said, I'll remember that forever. Just as the fan in me came out more that day than almost ever, believe it or not.
Yep. Well, it's good, you know. It's good for you to have those times too. You need to still be a fan in spite of keeping objective, you know.
Yeah, that day objectivity, I left it in my den.
right. Well, we all need those days. Take care, man.
Yeah. All right. Have a good one, Brad. Well. The fine line, which we've discussed, is you know, you talk about in 2003. Even though I had been doing this show, albeit at another station, my fandom was still really high up there. When I moved here in 2008 and was it's kind of strange because then I came to work for the Ducks station and I learned that you could get caught up. And I had heard, especially announcers from other markets, almost be like cheerleaders. And I was like, well, wait a minute. So people are going to come to you for analysis, and you're going to have your pom-poms. How could you be that credible? It's one of the reasons why I've always been such a fan of Jorgie, because you don't know where his loyalty lies, but listen to the games, listen to his breakdowns, listen to his analysis. And that's why I happen to know that, you know, he's done a lot of national shows when we were with ESPN, when we were with CBS Sports Radio, and the guys always loved him because, A, he's an insider. He's at practice. He's talking with the guys. He knows the game. I mean, for God's sakes, he views it through the lens of a starting Division I quarterback in the Pac-10. But while you know where his heart is, his head and his integrity as a broadcaster wins out 100% of the time. It's unbeaten, undefeated, and untied. And I've learned a lot from him that, you know, there have been times where we've gotten in debates on this show and the old show with a Beaver fan, with a Washington fan, with a Red Sox fan, whether it's been with a Seahawk fan. And I have admitted a couple times that, no, I'm not giving in. I'm going to be a jerk about this just to aggravate you, because the only reason you called was to aggravate me. But I haven't had that conversation in 10 years. It's just I could still go home and high five. And, you know, we were whooping it up when Oregon won their way to the Final Four when they beat Kansas. But when I sign on here at 3 o'clock, just because I might praise Oregon, it's not because I'm doing the show from Eugene. It's because they've earned it. I mean, I've caught grief from some of you guys when I've said good things about USC or Husky football. Of course, I had a nice 12-year window where I didn't have to say anything nice about Husky football. I wasn't anything nice to say. Arizona basketball. May the sports gods strike me with lightning. I've actually, you know, spoken well about the Red Sox and the Cowboys and stuff like that. I just think if you're going to do this, you've got to be able to disassociate your fandom with what you're seeing. But for, you know, when I used to go to the games prior to 2008 and I didn't have to do a post game or a pre game, I just had to, you know, come back to earth by Monday at 3 or 4 o'clock to do the show. I put my team gear on, leading cheers, high-fiving, dancing in the aisles. It's really good. It's really good therapy. All right, folks, 284-8571, the Oregon fuel injection hotline. This always comes up when we discuss the Michigan game. Apparently, it wasn't in 80, 81, 82. Notre Dame came here, and the Ducks tied them. And it was a pretty, pretty big moment at the time because, you know, Notre Dame was Notre Dame, and Oregon was a team who, hadn't even made a bowl game since the early 1960s. All right, 284-8571. The Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Somebody just sent me a copy, looks like a signed copy, of the Sports Illustrated of Jason Fife making his way into the end zone against Michigan. I was right. It was Rich, Cool, and 4-0. Of course, the season from that point ended up okay, not great. But by the way, whoever texted me that copy of SI, that's a cool keepsake, man. Nice. Thanks for sending that along. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Bring us to break time. We'll come back. Nick will have a Coors Light update. And I wanted to talk a little NBA. And Nick brought it up during our Richter scale about Gar Foreman and the interesting conversation I heard on ESPN with Brian Windhorst. So, how about a little hoops after this? 95.3 The Score.
Sports Talk with Steve Tannen is brought to you by Garrity RV Supercenters. Name one of America's top five RV dealers. They don't just sell fun, they guarantee it. See over 700 options for every budget at Garrity.com.
And this one will go about the same place, maybe a little deeper. It's going to be right to the 10, 15. McHale to the 20, upfield to 30. He's off to the races. He is off to the 40. He's at the 30. He's at the Beaver 20. You have got to be kidding me. He has done it again. Touchdown, Ducks.
Our own Jerry Allen on the Oregon Sports Network. The Civil War kick return by McHale Wright late in the first quarter, giving Oregon the lead for good en route to victory, and then the victory in the conference championship game, smashing Utah, and the scintillating Rose Bowl win against Wisconsin. So I've been doing this is the better part of the third week of doing the show from my home in a spare room. So I just tweeted out a picture of the Sports Illustrated with Jason Fife high stepping into the end zone against Michigan. And I'm thinking, man, get ready for what I'm – this is my thought process, sitting in my home. I mentioned the cover of the Register Guard sports section the next day. There's a picture you could visibly see all of us who spent so many games, so many years sitting in Section 11 and cheering on the Ducks. I'm like, man, when I get home tonight, I'm going to go find that picture, take a shot of it, and post it on Twitter. Then I realize you are home. It didn't even dawn on me that I could just – I think I know exactly where it is. So when I get home. Well, Steve, where are you? Yeah, that would be home. Anyway, welcome back. Sports Talk, 95.3 The Score. I read a story. I'll get to some NBA in a minute. And this is one of those deals I, for some reason, often speak about. Surprise parties, gag gifts, April Fool's Day, and I'm not a huge fan. Surprise parties, okay, if done right. My mom totally snowed me, and they had a big 18th surprise birthday party for me. I fell for hook, line, and sinker. It was like all of a sudden my dad wanted to go shopping for a car. My dad and I weren't car guys. It would be like, all right, this one's kaput. The black one with the red interior. We go to my buddy Daniel Motors out on Newark Pompton Turnpike in Jersey and bought the car, and wasn't our thing. And we're going from – we took a test drive. My dad and I had never taken a test drive, and we were in a Mustang, and – you know, I'm 17 years old. I wasn't really aware of my parents' finances. I mean, lived in a pretty nice house. They didn't seem to have, you know, money to burn. So then all of a sudden we're at the Lincoln Mercury dealer, and then Ford dealership. And then the last part of the plan was to go to my buddy's lot. And when we left there, they knew we were heading home. And I walk in, and we didn't have a really large home. And I noticed the car is lined, the street is lined with cars, and kind of up ahead, it had already, it was October, so it was early evening, it wasn't light out yet, and I thought I saw my buddy's yellow Trans Am, and I'm walking in the house saying, could that be, boom, surprise, that was fun. Gag gifts, stupid, April Fool's, dumber. So this is a story out of France. So there was a company outing. They went to an airbase, and this 64-year-old guy, they had as part of his gift, they gave him an opportunity to fly in a fighter jet. It turns out he had no desire to do this. He was not a military guy. He was not what you call somebody who yearned to be in military aviation. And so they were en français at the Saint-Dizier Air Force Base in northeastern France. And so he realized that he was going to get in a fighter jet, which ends up going about 837 miles an hour, according to the story. So he's really stressed, because if that's not your cup of tea. So he was wearing a watch that measured heart rate. And according to the report, as they were about to take off, his heart went into full tachycardia, heart rate between 136 and 142 beats per minute. So he still goes through this ride. It was a three-plane training exercise. It's the rig is used by the French Air Force. Okay, here it is. It has a maximum speed of 870 miles an hour. Guy's 64 years old, so they hit 2,500 feet, and the pilot's in climb mode. The passenger panicked. He wanted something to hold on to. He hits the ejector seat button and gets flown from the fighter jet, had not securely attached his helmet, which he lost. Somehow, the parachute opened, and he fell to earth, as they described, a tumbling manner near the German border. And it was an involuntary reflex. The pilot landed the plane safely, and the guy suffered some minor facial injuries. You're going to surprise a guy with a trip like that, a man who has expressed absolutely no desire to ever do that again. I would like to hear, after he got back to work, of all the languages, cursing in French makes me giggle, laugh till tears come down my cheeks. And I don't wish the guy any ill will, but if you know, when you work out, there's a percentage, depending on your age, there's like a formula. I think it's like you want to max out at 2.5 times your age. So if my heart rate gets up to about, 138, 140, I know I'm getting a good workout in. This guy, without even working out, just sitting there because he's about to crap himself because he was about to all of a sudden be with Goose and Mav in Top Gun. So for the record, in October, if you guys decide to throw me a big birthday party, there isn't a birthday party for me here, do me a favor. Leave the fighter jet out. I'm not even going in a helicopter. I'm not going in a propeller plane. I'm not going skydiving. I'm not going, I'm not one of these, the white water rafters. Yeah, that's not going to happen. You needed to get to me when I was in my 20s and was stupid. We're not climbing up the side of a rock. We're not going mountain climbing. That's not it. You want to hook me up? Find a place to have a couple cocktails, maybe play some poker, maybe shoot some pool, and bet on a few ball games. There you go. That'll get my heart rate up. Anyway, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Okay, so we're talking about at the end of last hour. So the Bulls part ways with their longtime general manager, Gar Forman. He's had an interesting career. Most probably don't know, he had a tenure as an assistant coach at New Mexico State, where he was accused of directing some staff members to ask transfers to take courses at a place called the Southeastern College of the Assemblies of God, which included some sham classes. He came out of it clean, then goes to work for Tim Floyd at Iowa State, 1994-1998. Then you got to do the timeline right, because Michael Jordan and the Bulls, the dynasty ended Game 6, June of 98, with the posterization of Byron Russell. Reinsdorf was the owner Krause was the GM, the Jerrys, and they decide that they're not going to pay Jordan another $35 million. They're not going to retain Phil Jackson. Scottie Pippen ends up leaving, and they broke up the band. And Tim Floyd was hired to be the coach of the world champion Bulls. Floyd, in turn, hired Foreman to be a scout. He would become player personnel director in 2004, then the general manager before 2009-2010. He was, you know, fortunate enough to win the ping pong ball war and draft Derrick Rose, who was rookie of the year, 2 years later, NBA MVP. Then Rose started with the devastating series of injuries. It looked like his career was in jeopardy. The Bulls have just mired in mediocrity. I mean, the thing about the Bulls to understand is you think of them as one of the most successful NBA franchises, but it's all over an 8-year period. I mean, you eliminate – and by the way, I'm not going to be dismissive of 6 NBA titles. That's what pulls them right in behind, you know, the Lakers, Celtics, and I guess the Spurs, who have 5. But the Spurs did it over a course of 16 years, maybe longer, 99. Yeah, about 15, 16 years, where the Bulls went from, you know, they had made the Eastern Conference Finals 2 years in a row, losing to the Pistons. Then won 3 in a row. Michael went to play basketball, baseball. Then they won 3 and retired. But, you know, before then, they had made the Western Conference Finals in the mid-70s. I mean, they'd never been to a final before or after. They'd never won a title before or after. And they'd only been to the conference finals 3 other times outside of the Jordan era, and it didn't get better under Gar Foreman. I want to say Gar Hurd. So they never made it out of the second round after 2011. They entered this year dropping like a stone. 2 years ago, they won 22 games. Last year, 27 games, and they were going to have another terrible losing season this year. And today, they fired Foreman. Last week, they hired a fellow by the name of Arturas Karnasov from Denver to put the franchise back together. But he's the head of the entire operation and will now be seeking a new GM. So it's been a while. You probably know his name, especially if you follow the NBA. And let's face it, it's a very forgettable tenure. All right, let's take our final break of the 4 o'clock hour. And when we return, Nick and I'll light them up. But historically, coming at you next, 95.3 The Score.
Sports Talk, sponsored in part by Guarantee RV Supercenters, the first and only RV dealership to offer service 7 days a week. Big city selection and country savings. Visit them online at Guarantee.com.
If you could pull off something like this, where you're playing games in Cactus League and Grapefruit League stadiums, that's better than the idea I heard last week about quarantining everyone down to Arizona. I never thought that had an idea. This Florida-Arizona split thing has some legs.
All right. If you insist. It had legs, folks. As we welcome you back, that was Mark Teixeira on this whole concept of Cactus League and Grapefruit League and holding all the games in Arizona and Florida. And let me tell you something. This is still in the conceptual stage. No one has received a patent for any of this just yet. All right, folks, welcome back. 284-8571 Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, locking it up because it's that time as we hit the home stretch of the 4 o'clock hour. Let's call it light them up with a twist, as usually we look back at the weekend that was and give you our top performers. But unless you're Nick betting on ping pong, yeah, there weren't any. So we're going to hit the Wayback Machine, give you the top guns from this weekend. 1 year ago in a throwback edition of Light 'Em Up.
Yeah. again. Butter. Steph Curry. His 11th three of the night.
Kobe on a spin.
Yes!
What a display. They can't believe it courtside. Neither can we.
Airs it out down the field. It is caught by Tyree.
Oh, my God.
How about another? To center field. Number four. Josh Hamilton.
It's Lillard. He got the shot off. Win the series for the first time in 14 years!
Thanks, Mike Tirico. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Light 'Em Up, the 1 year ago edition. I'm not good with math, not good with calendars, not really sure what the weekend was of this time last year, but we might have missed something or talked about it at a different time, so we're going to talk about it now. Best of the best from the weekend a year ago. Steve, you want to go first or me? You pick.
Oh, I'll lead off.
All right.
I'm going to go Eldrick Tiger Woods, who was lit.
It's lit!
El Tigre.
Shout out Chavy! Scott! Because it's lit!
Of course, he hadn't won a major since June of 2008 when he captured the U.S. Open in the Battle Royale with Rocco. Then came the drama, which we could all now recite ad nauseum. Then after missing the cut in the last three majors of 2015, did not play in any the next 2 years. Then showed signs of life, 2018, sixth at the British Open, second at the PGA. With four green jackets, could he actually contend at Augusta National, pull to with one of Jack Nicklaus. He began the final round within two of Francisco Molinari. Fast forward to number 15, his birdie combined with Molinari's double bogey gave him the lead. His approach on the par 3 16th now echoes through the ages apart as Masters lore. He taps in on 18. Became the second oldest Masters winner behind Jack, 14 years between Masters wins, breaking Gary Player's record. Tiger, 2019 Masters champ, lit.
It's lit!
For me, it was game one of the Western Conference round one in the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs on April 10th. Knights and Sharks was lit.
It's lit! Shout out Chavy! Scott! Because it's lit!
It was just their second year of existence. It was the second time that they ran into each other in the playoffs, my Sharks and the Vegas Golden Knights. The Knights took down the Sharks in the second round in six games in 2018. Didn't really feel that close to the Sharks. Finishing 8 points ahead, coming into this first round game, it's a rivalry. It shouldn't be a rivalry because the team's only 2 years old, but it very much is. Joe Pavelski starts the series off with a goal. The Sharks take a commanding 3-1 lead. They win the game because when you take a 3-1 lead in a game or a series, you close out the game or the series. You'd have to be a dummy to do what Vegas did, which is blow a 3-1 lead in the series, which is what they did, because they won 5-3, 6-3, and 5-0. The Sharks' goaltending was horrible. Pete DeBoer would not stop starting Martin Jones every single game. The Sharks somehow won Game 5. It didn't make sense. They won in overtime in Game 6, and then in Game 7 was the big one. Falling behind 3-0, the phantom major penalty on Joe Pavelski that wasn't a penalty leads to four power play goals and the Sharks winning in overtime 5-4 thanks to Barkley Goodgrow. I tell you what, you can't come back from a 3-1 lead without losing three games first, and that's all thanks to game one, which was on April 10th between the Sharks and the Knights. It was lit.
It's lit!
You can't come back from down three without losing three.
It's impossible.
T-shirts. So a year ago, this weekend began with the NBA playoffs when the Golden State Warriors were still lit.
It's lit! Shout out Chavy! Scott! Because it's lit!
Yes, they would eventually rule the West, and they started with a bang. They were the one seed, taking on the Clippers, and it was like old times. The shots were dropping, the Clippers were being the Clippers, and the champs crushed by 17. Steph Curry, 8 of 12 from downtown. The Warriors hit 47% from downtown. Curry ended with 38 points, 15 rebounds, 7 assists. Draymond went all Swiss Army knife, 17 points, 8 boards, 7 dimes. All seemed right in the world. Golden State, first round of the 2019 NBA playoffs, were lit.
It's lit!
For me, it was another game on April 10th, but a blazer, Anfernee Simons, was lit.
It's lit! Shout out Javi! Scott! Cause it's lit!
Was the last game of the season for the Zers, and the Blazers were in a battle for a higher seed. They were stuck in fourth place, tied with the Houston Rockets. They needed a win against a Kings team that had been eliminated from the playoffs and had nothing to fight for, which is very classic Kings. Well, this is where our hero rises from the depths to save the day, or not so much rises for the depths, but was just one of six players that Terry Stotts dressed that day. Three players in this game against the Kings played all 48 minutes. The only relief anybody got was when Zach Collins came in for just a measly 13 minutes. So Simons had no chance but to go off in this one. 13-21 from the field, 7 of 11 from 3, 6 rebounds, 9 assists, nice, and a career high 37. That topped his previous career high of 9. Anfernee Simons quadrupled his career high. He scored 49.3% of his points on the season in that game alone. 75 on the season, 37 in the game, in game 82. That ended up being a huge win for the Zers, who ended up getting the 3 seed, taking on the Thunder, and you know the rest, 37 feet, the wave bye-bye. Simons, 1 year ago, he helped do that. He was lit.
It's lit!
That's a good one, man. All right, folks.
I'm not wrong. You know what? It was a statistical anomaly. I was like, Anfernee Simons had a huge... He had one of the best games of all of April last year, and it was like the one game he played.
You know what? When we get back to normal, I just came up with a great contest. Once a week, or you know, once a month, we do, and it's lit. We give four, and somebody's got to guess the year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think that would be championship caliber stuff. So we'll put that on the back burner. Hang tight. 5 o'clock hours next. We'll talk with Coach Graves, 95.3 The Score.
In my opinion, that sucked.